This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. So we are on in the middle of a discussion about the steps to greatness and look at some of the 48 Kinyani Torah. And just to give a very brief background to describe what has happened so far. We missed last week, I was away, apologies. So the background to this is the question of Rabbi Leff, i.e. he asks a very insightful question. There is an inconsistency in the way in which we count. We count Sfiras Omer, the days at the beginning and the weeks at the end. So for example, the first night of Omer, we counted the very beginning of the day. Remember, the Jewish day starts at the night. So the very first opportunity, straight after Marav, we count Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer, the first day of the Omer. Yet, when it comes to weeks, we only notch up a week at the end of the week. So, for example, when it comes to day 7, we then say Shehem Shavu Echad LaOmer. Why are we not consistent? Why do we count the days and the weeks at the beginning? Hayom Yom Echad Shehem Shavu Echad LaOmer.
But it isn't. Sorry, I meant to be different. Yeah. It isn't a week at the first day.
But it's not the day either. So you say this is the beginning of the first day and the beginning of the first week of the Omer. Yeah, or counts, you know, after Mincha, at the very end of the day, this was the first day, and at the end of the week, we say this was the first week. So, to be consistent, but we're inconsistent, we're counting the days at the beginning of the day and the weeks at the end. Why is that? And in short, he says that the way in which we count is instructing us how to go about the whole process of Sfiras Omer, which is a process of preparing for Shavuos and preparing ourselves for Kabbalas HaTorah. The mashal I gave was, you're out in a fancy restaurant, you order an expensive you order a fancy bottle of wine, and you've got the waiter comes along with two fine glasses, but the glasses have not been washed out for the last three people who've used it. You know, lipstick marks and smudges and a bit of wine stains and breadcrumbs and who knows what. So you can have the finest wine, but if it's a dirty glass, it's going to soil the effect of the wine. The purpose of Sfiras Omer is to polish the glass. And Torah Sashem Tamim Meshivas Nefesh, the Torah is perfect. It's fine wine, it's beautiful. The problem is that sometimes ourselves, the receptacle to hold the wine, is not always polished. And therefore the job of Sfiras Omer is to polish the glass, to polish our glasses. How do we do that? Different ways. Lots of different ways. You can go through the Sfiras and Chesed Shebegvura, Hoy Shebechesed, etc., etc. Or one way is to go through the 48 Kinyani Torah. So the past two times we've discussed various parts of how we go through this process, and I believe we are up to Ema. Is that true? Is that possible? I think so. And the idea is, by the way, how does that answer the question of Rabbi Leff? That you count, you do day by day incremental steps. So each day, one day at a time, Daf Yomi is a great example. A guy walks into a room and he sees an entire Shas, it's overwhelming. How am I going to finish that? But if a person says, okay, forget about the big picture, let me just focus on one day at a time. I'll do one Daf today, one Daf tomorrow. I'm not worrying about more than that today's Daf. Tomorrow's tomorrow. And if a person does that, over the course of time, you look back after a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, wow, look what I've accomplished. This is what I've done. So you need day by day, slow, incremental steps. And then with sort of points along the journey where you can look back and reflect on the success and the achievements, which therefore becomes a catalyst for further growth. So you need sort of practical short-term goals where you actually are focusing on something which is achievable, and then you look back. The story that I put here, which I always keep forgetting to say, is the fellow who wanted to be the multimillionaire. And after 120 years, he goes to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I davened and davened and davened to be this very wealthy man, and why didn't you listen to me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but you didn't buy the lottery ticket. You got to do something. You got to do something practical. You've got to do your hishtadlus, whatever it was. Okay, so we've done Talmud, we did Shmir Sa'iz, Narichas Fasayim, Binas Halev, and now I think we're up to Ema. Now, this is a very interesting one. Again, these are all 48 Kinyani Torah, ways to acquire Torah, but more sort of grandly, there are ways to grow in Ruchnius. So number 6 is Ema, and this is all based, of course, on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav Mishnah Hei, HaTorah Niknas Ba'Bo HaMishmonei Devarim, and in at number 6 is Ema. Ema means awe. What does that mean? Again, different ways of understanding it, but largely it means a certain living with a sort of an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Living with this fear, this awe of a bigger picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are lots of ways in which one can achieve this. Here's just, you know, when it comes to learning, it's very important that Chaim Volozhin says that before you sit down to learn, just for a moment, to reflect on what you're actually doing. When we daven, as the Baalei Musa often say, we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. So have that awareness before you open your Gemara that right now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to me. That changes the whole exercise. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you look at the bottom of page 2, V'lochein, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Tzadi Beis, V'lochein, also liga b'mekoymes elu b'shar sha'imdim b'tefillah osik b'torah. That a person can't touch parts of the body which are normally covered when he's davening or when he's learning. So for example, just scratching the back of your neck, putting your hand down the top of your shirt, that's not allowed. Now, why not? Okay, there's tumah, there's tahara, but and then Mishnah Berurah says, but the minimally, it's enough to wipe your hands on some sort of surface, and you see people do that. But what's the background? The background is you're davening, you're learning, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is talking to you, and therefore you don't just arbitrarily touch. If you're standing in front of a melech, you behave differently. Reb Steinman, we've seen the pictures. He used to sit on this chair without a back. Because he felt that if he was sitting in a chair, and sometimes I see boys in shir, and they're reclining, as if they're sitting in a coffee bar or something. But there's a certain aima, and he, in his late years, he was in his 90s still, and he would sit on this stool, literally, without a back, because that would engender a certain awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was learning, he was aware, he was cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he would learn. Reb Noach Weinberg, I mentioned to you this before, it's worth mentioning again, the Reb Noach Weinberg had this very interesting practice. When he would give a shir to people who had never, never exposed to Jewish education, they would, go down to the Kosel, they would, Rav Meir Shuster and other people would knock them on the shoulder, tap them on the shoulder, bring them back to the Eish building, and this would be their first, ever time to learn Torah. And Rav Noach Weinberg had a problem, because you're teaching Torah to people who have not said Birchas HaTorah, and halachically that's a problem. There are heterim, but he did the following. He basically said Birchas HaTorah with them. And he did it, I think, for halachic reasons, but also, and probably most primarily, as an educational tool. That he said to them, we're now going to learn Torah. Torah is the word of God. Before we do that, we're going to say a blessing. And this is not history, this is not physics, this is not biology. And that's a very powerful message. We're now learning the word of God, and before we do that, we make a blessing. So all of a sudden, the whole audience realized this is something different. Because that is Eimah. That's really what Eimah is. I once heard from Rabbi Roberts, Zatzal, that he was once in America, and I don't know where exactly, I think it was in Borough Park, but his host said to Rabbi Roberts, do you want to meet an Amola Dikayid, a Jew from yesteryear? So Roberts said, yeah. So he takes him to this Hasidic fellow who's sitting in his front room, and he's wearing his long rekel and a hat, this old Hasidic Yid, sitting and learning in his front room. No air conditioning. New York can be very hot in the summer. And Roberts explained that because this person understood that he's now sitting in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not for me and you. You go to any yeshiva, they take their jackets off, you see, boys in shirt sleeves. That's norm. But this person had this heightened awareness of what I'm doing now. That's Eimah. So that makes the whole limud, that takes the whole approach that are living with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that changes the whole exercise. That is one of the ways to be Kona Torah. And just to finish, the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya, it doesn't only apply to the person, it applies to Sfarim, this reverence to Sfarim. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kosav Hayuriya, Obol Haniach, El Hanich Kadesha Tisyabish. A sofer is writing on a cloth, and he wants it to dry. And he's worried that if he leaves it, it takes an hour or two to dry, that some dust is going to fall on it. So he's got it's sort of semi-dry. He'll turn over the cloth, and that way there's no ants or no dust or whatever will spoil it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, lo yahapecha ksav lemata. Don't do that. Don't turn the ksav upside down. Even though your intention is that no dust should settle on the writing, mekol makom derech bizayinu. It's just a disrespectful way to turn the cloth upside down. Rather, the ksav should face up. Put a cloth or something over it. And it says the shach, that is applicable too to Sfarim. The person shouldn't go out and leave the sefer open. The imein olav mapid, unless you cover it with something, the lav dafka sefer Torah, do adin shas farim. Now we see that the whole time. We see people leave sfarim open or sidurim open. It's a lack of respect because it's lacking in emor a little bit. Emor means you have a reverence, you have a certain awe of what you're doing because you're living with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is one of the Kinyoni Torah, and in a way, growing generally in Ruchnius, and another step to greatness. Mitzvah Hashem to be continued next week.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.